Sharpening the Axe. This is Aviator Cast, episode 117.
Calling all aviators, you've landed at Aviator Cast, the top podcast resource for interviews, refreshers, lessons, training topics, and more. Join weekly and share in our passion for flying things, exploring the rare air through flight. And now, another episode. Pre-flight complete, fuel on board, and flight plan filed. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Here's your host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. Abraham Lincoln famously said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe." This quote is a quote of preparedness, planning, and a bit of work. Aviation is much the same way. There's much preparing and planning to do in order to be successful in our training or gaining proficiency or just growth as an aviator. So no matter the stage you're at, being prepared for that stage is very important. It's odd to think that the majority of growth in one's pursuit to become a pilot is not done in the cockpit of an airplane. Rather, it's the extra deep study while time avails, is asking the right questions, finding the perfect instructor for you, and then just a whole lot of hard work. It's sharpening the axe now, so the tree cutting later will be easier. It's putting the study in now, so the training can be absorbed more effectively later on. So that is going to be what we're discussing today on AviatorCast is preparedness. More precisely, the prepared student, how to squeeze the most out of your flight training. How can you as a pilot be, or a pilot seeking another rating like instrument or commercial, be prepared for training? So I'm going to give you tips and things that I've learned over the years on how you can do exactly that. You know, I've had students from all different walks of life come through my door. So that is what we're going to be discussing today, is how do we get there? So as always, Aviator Cast is brought to you by Aviator Training, offering online ground school. Get your free download today of the Private Pilot Action Plan, 5 things to do before your first flight lesson. Sign up today at aviatortraining.com. Now, before we get into an episode of Aviator Cast, one thing we always do is we read a review. Now, for those of you that haven't been on Aviator Cast before, Aviator Cast is a podcast all about aviation. You probably gathered that so far. We often have interviews with people from all different walks of life in aviation, whether that be military, airline pilots, regular everyday private pilots, commercial pilots, student pilots. We like to get a variety of people and a variety of different perspectives on the show. And so that's one thing that we do quite often here on the show. So you'll find a lot of resources for Aviator Cast at aviatorcast.com. You'll find all the past episodes. Of course, this being Aviator Cast 117, there's a whole lot that's happened in the past. So go ahead and go and find those episodes that will help you out. Subscribe where you're at, whether that's on YouTube or on iTunes podcast, the different sources where you can make sure that you get the new episode every week. So that is what Aviator Cast is all about. And often we have you leave a review for the show. So if you leave a review, say you leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, etc., and then I read your review on the show, I will send you an Aviator Cast t-shirt. So this is my way of saying thank you. This is my way of saying thank you directly to those of you that are sharing the show, that are giving your input. If you do get something out of the show, I ask that you share it with somebody. There are so many people out there that can use the advice and the sort of things that I do on this show. So I'd really appreciate you doing that. So we have a review this week, as always, and this week it comes from Bryce White from the USA, and he says, "The only aviation podcast needed. I'm 36 years old and have always been passionate about aviation. I'm only just now realizing this. I have spent most of my career in aviation, having spent nearly a decade at the FAA's Airman Certification Branch and currently work in finance at Boeing. Since I decided a few months ago to get a PPL, I wanted to find a good podcast to listen to in my spare time. After searching for aviation podcasts, about 100 were listed. I saw AviatorCast and thought I'd give it a try. It's the first one I tried and the only one I need. Having plenty of my own challenges, this show makes me realize that I'm not the only one facing challenges. Since I am passionate about aviation, I know I will make it, and your show and words inspire me. Thank you. So Bryce White, 12111, I really appreciate that. I'd love to hear from you, of course. To get your t-shirt, write me at aviatorcast.com, but I'd love to hear more about your story and what your plans are for moving forward with your training. It sounds like you're getting pretty serious about it. Of course, if you're working for Boeing in the Seattle area, I'm not sure exactly where you're at. Boeing has plants all over the place now. Aviation is big there, so you're not going to have a hard time finding a place to learn to fly. So congratulations on that and finding your passion and getting excited about getting your license. I think that's a really, really great thing. So keep working toward that. And of course, reach out to me and let me know how that's working for you. All right. So we are going to be getting into the meat and potatoes for this episode of AviatorCast. This is going to be probably a little shorter than usual, but I just found that I really wanted to dig down and tell you from an instructor's perspective what I see in the most prepared students and what you can do as a student to be prepared. I think that's something that's really important because we always are pushing for extra time and money to do our training. And by being prepared and by putting in the hard work, you can save both time and money. And it's just a really great way to do it. Now, this isn't just for student pilots, okay? I want to make that clear. I know that the title of the episode today is The Prepared Student, but let's keep clear that we are all students and constantly absorbing this thing of aviation. So I am still a student, even though I'm an instructor and I'm in it almost every single day. I'm still a student. I'm still learning. And so if you're going for something new and you're going to be taking a step up, whatever that is, you know, this is going to be good advice for you. So let's get right into it. Let's get into the prepared student. All right. Again, this is all about being prepared. It's all about taking those steps so that you can get to that next level in your aviation career. Always very, very important. So I know that we've been talking about subjects like this quite a bit recently, and this is going to be an opportunity for you to maybe hear from an instructor that has seen a wide variety of people and some of the personal things that prevent people from being their best person, the best them, to get the training done, because it really does take a whole lot of hard work and there's just really no way around it. So that's going to be what we're discussing today. I'm going to go through several of these different points, discuss what I mean by them, mostly just titles, and then I'll discuss what I mean by that. But I think they're going to be very helpful. So again, these are things that are going to help you move to that next level. So let's get to the first one here. All right. So that is bring on a paradigm shift. So what I mean by paradigm shift, and I really wanted to put this one first, is things aren't going to happen unless you make major changes in your life. And unless there's this aha moment that you have as a student pilot, as a private pilot moving up to instrument or commercial, any level you're going to, aviation is all about growth. So this really actually digs down deep into your personal life and requires you to make some fairly major changes to the way you are doing things. So it takes a paradigm shift. It takes a shift in your mindset, a shift in the way you are approaching life in order to get this done. So I have several points here that I want to discuss on things that could assist you in that paradigm shift to make sure that from a core level of you as a human being, what are you doing to make the switch to make this possible for you? Because if you're not prepared emotionally and physically and mentally to really make a shift here and make something happen, then when you run up against blocks, whether that be from one of those emotional, mental, or physical, then you're going to have a hard time. But if you've already made up your mind and already had kind of a change of heart, if you will, then it's going to be much easier. So first is spending habits, okay? I hear a lot of people talk about how they don't have enough money to pursue aviation, okay? But what they're not wanting to do is they're not wanting to change their life in any way in order to make that happen. So, you know, maybe if you ate out less, or maybe if you didn't have a really nice car and you could save money toward your training, you could make it happen. We all have some money that we spend, and we're pretty prosperous here in the United States, even at fairly low paying jobs. So those spending habits, that consumerism that is so prevalent in each one of us, is something you really need to look at and look at ways that you can change who you are and the way that you spend and maybe become more frugal to save up the money and prepare for your training, okay? But that, again, this isn't even talking about aviation. We're talking about just everyday things that you need to change in order to make this happen. So this isn't directly connected to aviation, but it's going to be something that affects whether or not you're successful or not, okay? So that's spending time, kind of in the same sort of area, right? It's always that time and money question. Time is another one of those things. It's a resource like money. We only have so much of it, and we get to choose what we do with our time. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that I go through marathons on Netflix and go to the movies and spend time with the family, a bunch of these different things. We're always having kind of this juggle of our time and what we spend our time on. And some of us are good at managing that time, and others of us waste a lot of minutes here and there that we could be spending on something quite useful. So think of time and your habits with time and how a paradigm shift in terms of how you spend your time could help you, okay? Another one is focus habits. How good are we at focusing on one thing? I think in today's world with all of these electronics and, you know, our phones and our computers and social media, all these things, which I am very, very poor at. You know, I'm not coming from an area of expertise here, or maybe I am kind of in a way, but it's derogatory in the sense that, you know, we spend a lot of time doing these things, and it takes our focus away from digging down on one area of our life that we can improve and really going for that. So kind of that focus, okay? That focus of, okay, I'm going to put everything away. I'm going to clear everything off my table. I'm going to dedicate this amount of time per day. I'm going to save this amount of money per week. And I'm going to make those fairly major life changes. You know, those are things that are ingrained in us, maybe even since childhood. And we really need to dig down and have that paradigm shift, have that shift in life to make something like this happen. This is why I wanted to put this one first, this bring on a paradigm shift, because I feel like if you don't start there, then it's not going to really work out. And then it kind of at the end of this paradigm shift thing is you got to decide, you got to make up your mind. Are you going to go for this pilot training thing, or are you going to do something else? If you really dig down and you decide without the shadow of a doubt that this will happen and nothing else matters, then you're going to find that things just start falling in place. Then what happens is you just start taking the next best step, just step after step and step. Sometimes it may not even be the best step, right? How do you really know that the next step you're taking is the best step? I talk about some of those steps in that new private pilot action plan that you can download on our website. But as long as you're taking steps, even if they're not in the right order, then you're moving in the right direction. So yes, you do need to know the steps to a certain extent. You do need to educate yourself on that. But at the end of the day, first, you just need to decide that this is something you're going to do. You need to decide who you're going to be. If who you are going to be is a pilot in training, then your whole life needs to model a pilot in training, if that makes sense. So your time needs to go away. You need to essentially, it needs to be a change in life. Like if someone was looking from the outside in, of course you feel like the same person, but if someone's asking from the outside in, then they should see a change in you, a change in the way you spend your time, money, effort, all that. They would see a change in you. So that paradigm shift, really, really important. Okay, here's another one, and it kind of goes to what I was talking about in time, is to study hard with no interruptions. So again, I think this goes to what I was talking about with electronics and how we can get pretty distracted, you know, and after you've had that paradigm shift and you decide to be a pilot, and you decide that you're going to be a pilot in training, it may not even mean that that you are actively flying or that you have the money to fly yet, but you decide you're going to be a pilot in training, then we start moving down to other areas that are of pretty good importance. So we talked about being distracted with the electronics, right? Now, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to focus on blocks of time where you can just study the material that you need to study and dig down deep and really absorb it. Because if you're checking Facebook every 3 to 5 minutes and it's kind of snapping your mind out of learning that new material, then you're not going to pick it up very well. So I would create like a good workspace, a place where there aren't any distractions from your family or whatever it is, and make sure that you focus at that time on just the study. You'd be surprised what 30 minutes a day would do to increasing your knowledge on a subject. Of course, sometimes if you're going to go through this faster and get your license quicker, it's going to have to be more than that. I didn't put this anywhere else in my notes, but this is pretty common in that for every hour of flight time you have, you should expect to have 3 hours of study, and that's pretty average. So that gives you an idea of how much you would be working toward this if you were going to be flying 2 to 3 times a week, which is recommended, and you had to study 3 hours. That's why that original paradigm shift of changing your lifestyle is so important, because that's a big lifestyle change. That's a big time commitment, and it's just going to take a lot of work. So I don't know how many of you people have seen, probably most of you have seen the movie Happy Gilmore. It's this movie with Adam Sandler where he's golfing, and there are these funny scenes in that movie where I think it's Chubbs, who is his mentor with the wooden hand, is telling him that Happy Gilmore needs to find his happy place, okay? He needs to find that place where he gets in the zone and he can really focus and perform well. So to study hard with no interruptions, I think it's also important that you need to find your happy place. You need to find a place, that workspace, where things can work out pretty well, no distractions, and you just kind of hone in and you get stuff done. Now, today, as I was preparing this podcast, I write a lot of notes down and I prepare the graphics and I try to formulate my thoughts on how I feel on a certain subject. And I usually do that at the airport. I sit in my car at the float storage. People store these old floats from float planes. I pull my car in between some floats. I get out my laptop. It's not connected to the internet. And I just start, having a stream of consciousness, just writing everything down. And it takes me on average about an hour to think through a podcast like this. So that is time very well spent, is very focused. And then I can come back to the office and do some different things, like set up the camera and some other things. But having that ability to go to a place where you can really focus like that and not have other distractions is very important for your study, and you need to find the ability to do that. Now, when you do find that place and you do find that you reduce those distractions, now it's time to do the work. You just need to do the work, okay? You have to focus no matter what, no matter the distractions. You need to put everything away and you need to focus on that. So Today was kind of interesting because my wife and I were having this conversation about how money is really tight right now and how we need to move some things around and maybe reduce what we're using in some other things. And just kind of an uncomfortable conversation to have with your spouse and a little bit defensive on both sides and just working through some normal marriage stuff. And it kind of put me in this non-creative mood. You know, I really wasn't in this space where I was thinking too clearly about the subject at hand. And I was at the airport in my car, just about to start on these notes. And we had this conversation in the car. So I had a podcast to do today. You know, I've got one. I have to do one this week. I've really committed myself to doing these things. And it's important for me to learn and grow this way. And so I just have to, you know, I have to do it. And so I had to push all those emotions away, push everything to the side and say, okay, I'm just going to do the work. I'm going to forget about that stuff for a few hours. And I'm just going to focus on this because it needs to be done. So it's the same thing with your study. You really need to focus, put everything else aside and just allow yourself to only be right there present for that time and having quality and quantity time for that. There's a really good book that talks about this. It's called The War of Art, and it's about work. There's another book called The Art of War, so don't confuse it, but The War of Art, and it talks about the resistance. And the resistance is this thing, this universal force, this thing that is unseen but ever present, and it prevents us from becoming the best us. It's a very short book, very entertaining if you can get it on audio, and just very, very enjoyable, and will really inspire you to push everything else aside and do the work. So that's The War of Art. I highly recommend that book, and I'll also put a link to it in the show notes on aviatorcast.com for this episode, and if you want to buy it, go there. That supports the show a little bit if you do that. Okay. So that is studying hard with no interruptions. So the next one, ask stupid questions. All right. I kind of put stupid questions in here, kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of saying there are no stupid questions. And you just need to ask whatever comes to mind. And that is the mark of a really great student. The students that ask questions, no matter how dumb they may feel for asking them, I really appreciate, because just like in a marriage, I can't read your mind, and I'm trying to read your body and read how you're feeling and read how you're performing as an instructor, and keep a good learning environment, but I can't read your mind. So if you have a question, I just really need to hear what that is. And so we can get past that barrier for you, because it just takes maybe a little bit of discussion, or maybe it's a discussion over several lessons, but really, truly, there are no stupid questions. And I just want you to ask those questions. So often the questions don't really come to students when they're actively in the flying environment. So some people say that the cockpit is a terrible learning platform, and it's quite true, because as you're trying to absorb this new sensory overload of this different place you are, you're excited, you're having fun, but you're also nervous, and you really want to perform well, but you're not performing well. So all these different things are kind of working against you to make a cockpit a good learning environment. So a lot of these questions will pop into your mind as you're sitting on the toilet, or as you're out on a hike, or you're at the grocery store, okay? These things are going to pop into your mind while you're out thinking about it somewhere else. So I highly recommend that you have a place where you can take down these notes. And we're going to talk about that in the next slide about some methods and means of doing that. But just have a way of writing down those questions anytime they come to your mind, okay? Anytime they come to your mind, write them down in a central location, and then you can bring them up with your CFI. Now, when you do have these discussions with your CFI, you have these questions, and you can do this stuff in the pre-flight or some ground sessions, and it ends up being, I'm almost getting the chills, ends up being some of the best time with your instructor when you're sitting there breaking through these barriers, and you're not even flying, but you're on the ground just answering these questions and working them out together. and making sense of these new things. Okay. So again, you're taking those questions you wrote down, you're taking them to your instructor, and you get into these really cool, deep discussions. Good flight instructors really enjoy these questions. We love these questions, and they really test us sometimes because students have a really great way of looking at things, and you get a variety of different questions because people are diverse and they think differently and they present things differently. And then, you know, the way that you connect things in your mind, you'll then tell me and I'll be like, holy cow, that's an amazing way to explain that. And I just really appreciate when students ask good questions. I don't care if they're stupid. I don't care if they're really deep. Just the fact that we're moving forward with you is really, really important. So just continue to ask those questions, okay? Continue to ask. Usually doesn't happen very well in the cockpit because things are moving fast. That's why it's better outside. So if you have questions while you're flying, if you ask your instructor that question and they say, we don't have time for it, ask them to write it down. We'll talk about it after the flight, whatever it is. But it just works out really well, okay? Makes for some great growth experiences between you and your instructor. So that is asking stupid questions, or really, in this case, asking any question you would like, and it ends up being very valuable for you. So next is take notes. So I wanted to get into this one deeper because, you know, I find that when I have these aha moments myself and I have these questions, if I don't put it down, I just don't have the memory to bring that up again. I think it's kind of a human condition to just forget things. You know, I'll be laying there in bed, not able to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I have this idea about how I'm going to improve aviator training or this podcast or something that I'm doing. I'm like, that's the most amazing idea ever. You know, that's going to change the landscape of my company and it's going to be amazing. And then I don't write it down. And then the next morning I'm like, crap, what was that? I can't remember what that was. So I've become more and more disciplined over time on writing those things down. It's actually the only way I can sleep at night in those rare instances where I'm having one of those nights just thinking about a lot of stuff, is knowing that the thoughts that I'm putting down on my app, in this case, are not going to get lost, that I can then recall them later and they'll still be valuable. Otherwise, I just sit there and try to hold on to them and I can't sleep. So I talked about this a few minutes ago. Have a place to take these notes, all right? A notebook, if you're into that, the old style, just writing on papyrus if you need to, whatever it is. Take notes in a notebook as long as that's available. But I find that a lot of the note apps these days are the better way of doing things because it's always there with us. Our phones are with us now a lot more than a pen or pencil. Kind of hard to believe, but they are. They're always there. So a note-taking app, a central location where you can take down those notes. You know, open a new note on your iPhone and call it the headline, questions for my CFI or questions about flying, whatever it is, and then just list your questions. Any little thing that comes to mind, just get in there and write it down right away. And then any other little thing that comes to your mind, just write it down right away and just make a list. I had a student recently that did this. It was so incredibly valuable. He would come to a lesson and say, hey, I have these questions before we get started. And man, we had some mind benders and really got into some stuff. And then there were times I'm like, hey, man, that, you know, that doesn't matter right now. We need to be focusing on this instead. So anyway, a place to take those notes, super important. Just have it available. And it's really, really helpful. Again, as soon as they come to your head, put them down, you know, just like you would write a friend. As soon as they came to mind, you write that question down. Record any follow-up questions. So if you're with your instructor and you talk about those things, write down those follow-up instructions and then rinse and repeat any of these subjects, any of these things you're wanting to learn, until you get the subject, until you understand. And sometimes, you know, your instructor is not going to do everything for you. Sometimes you're going to have to go and study the subject deeper or study the subject yourself without even talking to your instructor. But again, these are just things to round out who you are, those little holes in your knowledge to, you know, fill those in so that when you go to your check ride to get your license, you're not this big, ugly, moldy block of Swiss cheese with all these holes, okay? A lot of people don't like Swiss cheese. I think it's okay, depending on the sandwich. But instead, you're this big, beautiful, yellow block of cheddar, you know, nice and aged and just yummy. No holes, no mold. You filled in all those little holes and, you know, delicious, right? So that's the whole idea of filling in those little gaps of knowledge with these questions by taking notes. All right. So that is taking notes. The next one is nurture thyself. So we often forget about ourselves in this process. We were flying the other day up to Fairbanks. Kind of a cool story. We actually took some cats up there with this organization called Pilots and Paws. We relocated some kittens. There were some kittens and some cats to this other shelter that didn't have enough cats to give people from a shelter that had an overabundance of cats that weren't finding homes. Anyway, it was a great use of an airplane to take animals to that place. Okay. Really random side note. I know. But during this whole process, we didn't have enough food. We were hungry. We had like one meal in the morning. We had these breakfast bagels as we were flying up, but we didn't nurture ourselves very well. And it's this thing as pilots we end up doing. But this section, this nurture thyself, is about taking care of you as a person, okay? So that, again, this is kind of stepping outside of the whole being prepared as a student, but you really can't be prepared as a student of anything in aviation, unless you're on the top of your game. And I think when we're young and going through this aviation thing and trying to build this up, and even when we're older, we get so excited about this and we get wrapped up in all of the moving parts that we forget to take care of ourselves. So I just have a couple points here to talk about nurturing thyself and taking care of yourself. Okay. Sleep, hugely important. Unless you are the type of person you absolutely know can get by with a little sleep, there's like 3% of people that can sleep 3 hours a night and be just fine, then fine. But I need good sleep, and I don't perform well if I don't get it. Fatigue is a real thing. Okay. Food, kind of talking about the food, kind of like that flight that we had taken. And I always forget that. I told my friend Daniel, who I was flying with, I told him, man, we need to really change the way we do things. Take some beef jerky or something, because this always happens. So food, taking care of yourself, okay? Stamina long-term. Yes, you can go really hard for like a week, maybe two, but you're going to burn out. So if you're not eating well, if you're not sleeping well, if you're not having some fun, having some breaks here and there, then you're going to burn out eventually. And so taking breaks is really important as well, okay? Whether that's for a weekend or whether that's for just a few minutes to step away and take a deep breath. I actually do this thing when I'm really deep in some work I need to get done called Pomodoro. It's called Pomodoro method. And what it does is you time yourself for 25 minutes. You focus on one task. You don't work on anything else. No distractions, just one task. That could be studying in this case. And then once the bell rings at 25 minutes, you get a 5 minute break. So you kind of do these 30-minute cycles of work, and it's amazing what it does for the mind and the body to just step away and disconnect for a few minutes and then get back into it. I find that when I do that and work all day, I get a lot more done and I'm a lot less burned out. So instead of sitting down for 6 hours and editing a video, you know, I sit down for 8 hours and do this method and I feel better at the end. So that's something that I use. Maybe you can consider that too. And there are even some apps that help along with that. Okay, what about emotions? So know about your emotions, how you're feeling through this process. Are you having a hard time? Is life getting in the way? Do you have some other things going on? Do you need a break for a little bit? So think of this in terms of whether you're in training or out of training, or maybe you are studying a whole lot for a written test. Think about how things are moving. Now, you don't want the resistance that I talked about from the war of art, and this would really make sense if you read the book. You don't want the resistance getting in the way here and telling you that a bunch of these little things are preventing you from doing this, and you need to take a break, and you need to go get a massage and all these things, okay? At some point, you've just got to do the work, but there really is something to be said for taking care of yourself and making sure you're nice and whole and healthy to get through this process, because your mind is just going to absorb that knowledge a lot better if you understand that, if you have those that way that you set up yourself and taking care of yourself. Okay, the last thing here for nurturing thyself is enjoyment. Okay, enjoy the process. This should be fun. We can talk about this a little bit more later, but this should be fun, and don't take yourself so seriously. Relax a little bit, okay? Relax. All right, the next one, build your ideal team. So, a couple of people here you're really going to want to have on your team is you're going to want a mentor, okay? That's someone that's been there before in aviation. This is someone specific to aviation in this case. I find that these people are of an older generation. So my peers, my mentors are in their 60s and 70s, sometimes 50s, but, actually I have some mentors that are about my age, people that are just really great. Someone that's been there, they've done that, they know the path, they know how to get there, asking their advice, and having them help you along the way. Okay. They can be a voice of reason when things get really hard and you just can't see the big picture, and they know that big picture. They know what it takes. They know what it doesn't take. They can kind of rein you in and say, hey, don't worry. You're doing well. You're getting there. In a sense, this is kind of what an instructor does, but this is someone that is, I think, above an instructor, because an instructor has a specific role in your training outside of just being a mentor. A good instructor will also be a mentor in certain ways as well, but I almost find that having a mentor separate from your instructor is also very important. There are those rare guys out there that can be both, and I've flown with some of them, and they're just absolutely amazing. Instructor, okay? So now you want an instructor on your team. They are in charge of guiding you through this unfamiliar path to this rating or whatever it is. You know, when we get into a rating, something new, whether we're going for a private pilot license and all that stuff it takes to get there, or we're going for an instrument ticket, all that stuff it takes to get there, or commercial, whatever it is, okay? There are regulations about aeronautical experience and prerequisites and what we can and can't do here and what we can and can't do there and how to most efficiently do your flight training to get the most out of every single hour, okay? That takes a lot of knowledge and time, and it is really one of the core roles of the instructor to make sure that they guide you along in that process, okay? Because it's actually really not necessary that you know each and every one of those steps. It's really good if you do know the regulations on your particular goal, but there are very few people who go in knowing the curriculum and knowing exactly what it takes to get to the end. Okay. Usually it's just a, hey, I'm going to pay you. I'm going to do the homework you tell me to do. I'm going to go through this process and just trust that you know how to get me to the end and do so efficiently, with time and money. And those instructors and schools that do really good at that will get you there, and you'll see that trust right away. Okay. Again, it's a step-by-step process. It's you trusting them to just kind of bring you along the way. And then eventually you get to your goal. And then instructors are also in charge of the direct growth and feedback for you. So there is teaching and there is learning. Okay. A good instructor makes sure that you're learning. They aren't just teaching. So learning is when there's a successful transfer of knowledge or skill to you. And if you're not getting that successful transfer, then your instructor needs to find a different way to get it to you. So that is one of the roles of your instructor, to help you grow through learning. And then they're also there to help you grow through feedback. So you just got done with a flight. There are things to go over. You talk about things that you could have done better. Okay. So that is the role of an instructor. If I could wrap it up in just a few short minutes, however long that took me to talk about that, I think that's what an instructor is supposed to be doing for us. No more, no less. And if they do that, then they are worth their money, okay? Family, that's someone else that needs to be on your team. They're encouraging, they're supportive. They know that you've made this paradigm shift. You've decided to do this and it's going to take X, Y, and Z. And they are supportive in that effort. Okay. Really important that you get family on your side. I can't overstress that enough. That's going to take different shapes for depending on where you are in life, whether you are married or dating, or I would kind of consider dating, you know, more serious relationships in here, life partners, whatever it is in this family area, people that are very, very close to you. And just make sure that they're on board to encourage you and assist you in getting through this. It's very important. Very hard to do it otherwise. Okay. Friends. And this is kind of, it's not 100% necessary, but really good friends will help and encourage you along the way. They'll say, hey, how's flying going? Hey, that let's talk about what you've been doing or, you know, whatever it is. And actually telling your friends and being excited about it is really good for you to be able to share those things. And sometimes being able to teach them a little bit too about what you're doing is actually the highest form of learning if you can teach somebody. So you need to have your friends on board too. All right. So that's building your team and great. All right. Next one, be relentless in your pursuit, okay? All right, we're getting a little more serious now. We started out serious with the paradigm shift. We talked about some nuts and bolts in between, but now we're going to get really serious here, okay? And, you know, I don't want this to seem too overbearing, but it's time for real talk now, okay? I see a lot of people come through my door that are excited about flying, and they want to get into it, and a lot of these barriers get in their way, and I really wish I could understand more and take more time to help them break through those, but you can't do the work for people, and you can't give them your passion. So as much as I try, there are those people that just fall off and don't end up becoming a pilot and don't end up taking the next step for whatever reason, and it's something that I'm constantly trying to understand why, okay? Why is this taking place? And I think more than time and money and health issues and all these things, I think it comes a lot down to work, just really hard work. And it's easy to convince people to give their time and their money away, but it's really hard to convince people that this is going to be hard and difficult. And that's really the only way you're going to get there. So that's the real talk of this. Okay. There are no participation trophies in aviation. There's no shortcut. The way the FAA has things set up, there's no easy place to take a test. There's no way that you're just going to do it without doing the work, the prerequisite work to get this done. It's too regulated. And we as instructors, by and large, take too much pride in what we do to let people like that get scot-free into the community, okay? It's a very safe place for people to fly. It's not like the roads where people are driving. I would say that in a lot of cases, there are participation trophies when it comes to driving. I think we'd all agree there are people that shouldn't be on the roads that we see on the roads, okay? So no participation trophies in aviation. You have to do the work to get there. No entitlement, okay? Same sort of thing. You're not going to just get a license. You got to put in the work. It's going to be hard work. No freebies. You know, you may be able to get a loan or like your parents may pay for it, or you might be able to get a scholarship, but there are no freebies. You know, you still got to put in that work. It takes a lot of work to get through there. Now, of course, being relentless in your pursuit, I'll bring up the title here once again. Being relentless in your pursuit means that this is really an overall mentality of the word relentless here is just very important, okay? So we are not allowing anything else to get in the way of that. We are going to get to our destination no matter what, and you're going to make it happen. You've already had that paradigm shift. You've made up your mind in the beginning, and you have to be relentless no matter what it is, pushing through those barriers no matter what they are. So just one after the other, you have to knock down these barriers. And that's the only way to do it. And the only way you can do it is through being relentless. There's really just no other way. So another thing I see quite a bit is I see people getting no answers from their family or from doctors or from financial institutions or whoever it is. Okay, I don't care who it is. Unless it's the case of a family, you know, family is more precious than anything else. So that's one case where it's like, okay, if your family's not behind you, then I'm not sure this is for you. But I think if they can see your passion and things, there are ways to bring them along and enroll them in the fun and the usefulness of being a pilot. But don't let others tell you no, okay? This is up to you. If you let others tell you no, people are going to tell you no all day long. Okay, there are plenty of people out there willing to give you the opinion of no. And it's happened many times to me in my career. And good thing I'm a wee bit stubborn, thanks to my parents. But I just wasn't willing to take no for an answer as I went throughout my my training. So do not take no for an answer. Continue working through it. Find ways to be creative to get past those no answers, okay? Because sometimes they're legitimate no answers, but it doesn't mean you can't get creative and get a maybe or get a yes out of that by thinking through it a little bit more. And then also the mentality or the state of being a relentless pilot in training is there are no excuses, okay? You are the master. You are the captain. It is totally up to you. There are no excuses. Totally up to you. Change what you need to get this working. You know, if there's barriers in the way, change what you need to get it out of the way and keep moving forward. You're going to grow a whole lot. That's just part of this whole experience is growing. And you need to be really honest with yourself as well throughout this process. If you have a shortcoming or you have a certain thing you've learned about yourself that's uncomfortable, you say, hey, I don't learn this subject very well, or I can't do math very well, or I'm lazy, or whatever it is. You know, sometimes we hear those demeaning thoughts in our own minds, and we always say that we're our own worst critics. And sometimes, or rather, that is very true, but sometimes the things that we think are true, okay? So I know that's a really uncomfortable thought, but sometimes those terrible things we think about ourselves are true, and we need to be honest with ourselves and know if they're true or not. And if they are, then we need to be able to change them. But if we don't admit to ourselves in the very beginning that they are true, then there's no way we're going to be able to fix that issue and move beyond it. And so that's just a huge thing, is being honest with yourself. That could have been its own slide, I think. And then, are you showing up and are you working hard? Okay. Are you doing it? Okay. Are you going to do this? That's so, so important. All right. So that's being relentless in your pursuit of making this happen. Okay. Kind of a tough one. Real talk. I get it. I don't put stuff like that in my marketing materials. I can tell you that. It's hard to tell people that it's going to be really hard, but okay. Big but here. The keystone to all of this, and something I think we forget sometimes in aviation, I really try to remind my students of this quite often, is you need to find a way to have fun. Okay. This process should actually be fun. If your instructor isn't fun, if you're not having fun, find a way to make it fun. Hard work can be fun at the same time. They aren't separate. Okay. They can be synonymous. Hard work and having fun. This should be an absolute blast. There are going to be times where it's not as fun, okay? It's uncomfortable working through some things, but this should absolutely 100% be a fun process for you. So I encourage you to think of that on top of everything else, that this should be fun, okay? So remember, we talked about that paradigm shift, number one. We talked about studying hard with no interruptions. We talked about asking those stupid questions or really any questions. We talked about ways of taking notes. We talked about nurturing thyself. We talked about building your ideal team. And then we talked about last, being relentless in pursuit. And then finally, the keystone of having fun. Okay, make sure that you have fun. That's kind of a review of what we've done. And now we are going to get into the closing thoughts of the show. And a couple of things here for just a couple of announcements that you'll hear. And then I'll be there at the other side where we will close out the show. So let's get into that now.
Join us next week for another exciting topic or interview with a great guest. All AviatorCast resources can be found at aviatorcast.com. Subscribe to AviatorCast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, and other podcast services. Did you enjoy the show? Review AviatorCast on iTunes or similar service. If your review is aired on the show, we'll send you an official AviatorCast t-shirt. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Write AviatorCast at me@aviatorcast.com to introduce yourself or to ask any questions you may have about aviation. Now, for the final release clearance, back to Chris Palmer.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining on this episode of AviatorCast. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Big subject today. You know, it's one of those things that I was struggling to come up with a topic this week and just kind of came up with this morning and just felt like these were things that I needed to say to polish off a few of the last podcasts that we've had, because I've really been diving deep into the mindset of a student pilot or someone that's not even a student pilot yet, but someone that's looking into getting into aviation and finding out their psyche. You know, what are the things that they need to do? What are the things they need to be prepared? The steps they need to take in life in order to make this happen. I've done that with that private pilot action plan on the website. I've done it with a lot of the podcasts here in the last several episodes. So this is kind of finishing that off, I think. I'm not sure there's much more else to say on the subject, but those things are, I hope, very helpful for you. So again, if this is your first episode of AviatorCast, feel free to go back and listen to the other episodes, and I'd really appreciate it and always welcome you being here. So we do hold online ground school at Aviator Training. We have ground school for private pilot. I'm currently working on ground school for instrument. It's likely that it'll be available when you hear this podcast. Maybe you hear it a little bit down the road. And we'll also have commercial ground school before the end of the year. So we do things a little bit differently here. A lot of what you've gone through today in this podcast is what you would experience in a ground school with me. I take a personal approach to my students, and I like to make sure that your success is my ultimate goal. Again, that learning, that transfer of learning, transfer of knowledge. And we just have a really good time. And I often do these live as well. So it's kind of like a classroom style, but you can, you know, almost like you're being here in Alaska with me, you can show up for one of these trainings and we can be together and do it live online, no matter where you're at. So that happens periodically for every single one of these subjects here. And so I'd love to see you sometime on one of those podcasts. Okay, or one of those ground schools. So if you enjoyed this podcast, I ask that you subscribe, you like this, you share it with others. I just want to get the word out. That's why I do this for free. I don't take any donations for this or anything. I don't even like to run monetization on my podcast. You'll notice that I don't have any sponsors. The podcast is big enough now where I could do that. But I just want this to get out to as many people as possible. So please like, subscribe, share, whatever it is. If you feel like someone could use this, I'd really appreciate that. And keep doing what you're doing, okay? You being here today is you taking the next step, and I really appreciate that. And I just want you to keep taking that next step and hope that that we can take that journey together in some way. And just let me know what I can do to help you, okay? I'm going to stay after for a few minutes here. After these closing kind of graphics, for those of you that are viewing live, I will answer any questions that you have. That's something I do, is make myself available for a few minutes. So here we go. We're going to shut down the show. Thank you for joining. And until next time, throttle on.